2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the DFS and Donut Shop. My name is Mitch, but you can call me Donuts. I provide content for Numberfire, Fantasy Draft, Draft Sharks, and the DFS Army. You can find me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts. Before we get started, please head on over to DFSArmy.com and check out the site. Use promo Donuts for 10% off. Woo! It is week 6. We have an incredible slate on tap. I think week 5 was a nice reminder that NFL DFS is very volatile. There were so many spots where chalk was set up to have a tremendous week due to matchups, role, or price, and they just fell short of expectations and they left people feeling very empty inside. Well, week 6 is redemption week. Let's get back in there. Let's give it all we got and let's dig into some games. These are my early week, my Tuesday feelings and thoughts on a handful of games that I think are in decent spots or are complete fades. The first one is the Seattle Seahawks at Oakland. Now, this is not in Oakland. This game is actually going to be played in London. And I looked it up. Over the last 16 games, 11 of the 16 games had totals that finished over 48 points. Also, 11 of the past 16 games have gone over the Vegas total. Currently, the total is 47.5 points, and only 55% of the public money is coming in on the Seahawks, but 70% of the money is coming in on the over. So the secret is out, and I'm right there with the public. I am going Seahawks, and I'm going on the over. So if you're going to be playing this Sunday morning slate or the showdown slate or Thursday full slate, the only thing I would look to do is possibly play Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett with Russell Wilson. Whether they're apart or together, they've got to be stacked. Both of them played over 86% of the snaps in week 5. The Raiders are struggling to get a pass rush going. I'll talk about this a little bit in my MME playbook on Friday. That beast was 7,200 words in week 5, which comes out to a 30-page paper if it were double-spaced. That breakdown was for you college students or any high scorers that possibly listen. Now, Chicago at Miami. The Bears have 75% of the public money coming in on their 3.0 spread. 65% of the money is coming in on the under. This game is just a stay-away spot for me. Outside of Mitchell Trubisky and possibly Allen Robinson or even Tariq Cohen, who splashed onto the scene in week 5, I just want nothing really to do with this game. Miami is a slow team. They don't turn the ball over very much, and their defense is pretty stout. The Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. The Jets are 2.5-point favorites, but the public is pushing the line towards the Colts. 64% of the money is currently on the Colts, so the line moved from 3 to 2.5, and I expect that to keep closing the gap. I think the Colts are overall a better team, and their defense is starting to play well, and Andrew Luck's starting to round into form. So I'm not really going to Luck or anybody in this game. I kind of just want to fade the whole thing. I don't think T.Y. Hilton will be active. Jack Doyle's still hurting. You can't rely on Eric Ebron week in, week out. The Jets running game, that was a complete anomaly. They're going to be decent. They're going to be decent, that's for sure. But Isaiah Crowell did all that damage last week on less than 30 snaps. I believe he finished with 25 snaps. If he doesn't accrue a few red zone carries or a long run or two, I think he's absolutely in trouble. And I think everybody in this game is pretty much just going to let you down. The Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. Now, I had originally looked into this thinking I'm going all in on Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, Watson is completely underpriced across the industry, both on FanDuel and DraftKings, and he's a guy who never has the type of ownership I expect him to have. He's always lower than he should be. He has that massive floor due to his rushing ability, and he continues to show it off this year, and he has 4 straight games over 20 fantasy points on both FanDuel and DraftKings, and going back to last season, he only has 2 games in his 14 career games where he hasn't scored over 20. This guy has a massive floor, and he also has a tremendous ceiling. Now, the total for this game was pulled, though, because Deshaun Watson came up with a chest injury today in the injury report. So we'll have to monitor that. If he is active, I'm going right to DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm plugging him into my cash game lineups. He has scored double digits in 17 of the last 18 games going back to the 2017 season. Double digits, fantasy points, that is. And he has double-digit targets in every single game this year. And I expect that trend to continue. You could go back to Will Fuller in GPPs, specifically large field GPPs. Fuller was smashing. He had had 10 career touchdowns in 7 games with Deshaun Watson until this past week, where he only received 3 targets and finished with 2 receptions for 15 yards. If there's not a bounce-back spot that I want to target him in, this wouldn't be the one where I would fade him. Okay, the Bills' defense, they are decent. They are decent, and they do slow the game down a bit. But Will Fuller has that game-breaking ability and can really just take the top off the defense. The Carolina Panthers at the Washington Redskins. Cam Newton, Panthers defense, welcome to my lineups. I think this is a very unique stack where people normally stack the defense with a running back, hoping for short field opportunities after those turnovers and hope for rushing touchdowns from their running back. Well, Cam Newton does that. He gets that red zone work. He throws the ball deep, so he can set you up with a deep touchdown pass or two, and he'll also get those short field opportunities in the red zone if the defense causes some havoc. So I can see a strip sack fumble. Panthers get the ball in the 30. A couple plays are all sudden at the 5. Cam Newton runs it in. Boom. What a unique stack could be. You're looking at a 6-point touchdown for the rush. You're looking at 3 points for the sack strip fumble recovery for the defense. That's a 9-point swing right there. So I'll be looking at that one, and you'll get that very unique stack at an extremely low ownership rate. I would imagine more than 1% or 2% of the field would have Cam Newton and the defense paired together. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. Now, this game's going to be fireworks, and it's week in and week out that we can continue to just target Falcons games. They are so pathetic on defense, and they continue to just give up 30 points or more in every single game. So far, 79% of the public bets have been on the Falcons, who are 3.5-point favorites, but somehow the line did not budge, which means the sharps are actually betting on the Buccaneers. Now, I'm not the biggest gambler, but I'm pretty sure that's correct, and you can always touch base with me on Twitter as I look into that a little bit more. I'm more of a numbers guy. So the total did move from 57 to 57.5, and 60% of the bets are still on the over. Now, only 7 games in NFL history over the last 15 years have finished with a 57-point total or higher at the close of the Vegas lines. This game's currently at 57.5 points. I think this might be our 8th game. Now, an interesting development happened in Week 5 where Ronald Jones Jr. kind of started to take over. They gave him 10 carries. They also gave him a carry inside the 5-yard line. Inside the 10. And they gave him a passing target inside the red zone. So he's given 2 targets inside the red zone out of his 10 touches. The coaching staff said they want to get him the ball. I think they're just kind of closing the book on the Peyton Barber chapter. They're ushering in a new offense, I would imagine. And it's going to look a little bit different. It's not going to be the Ryan Fitzpatrick run and just bomb the ball. I think it's going to be a little bit more of your generic Jameis Winston kind of working outside the hash marks, over the middle of the field, Cameron Bray, and they're going to try to establish a running game with Ronald Jones Jr. If this happens, he's in a tremendous spot, and he's super cheap. Julio Jones was shadowed by Joe Hayden in Week 5, who has not been shadowing this year, and Joe Hayden locked him down. He did. Joe Hayden looked like the Joe Hayden from old, and maybe he's just one of those guys that needs to be given a task. He needs to be told from a coach that, hey, dude, Joe, you got to go stop this guy no matter where he goes, no matter what he does, and no matter how big or strong or fast he is. And Joe Hayden did. He responded well, and he just went ahead and signed another paycheck for the coaching staff that can stick around another week for the Steelers defense that was looking quite inept before getting this Week 5 turnout against the Atlantic Falcons. So if Joe Hayden's going to be going into the slot or moving in and out week in and week out, we're going to have to pay attention to who he's going to be covering. If that's it's not going to be DeSean Jackson. If that's Mike Evans, then we got to look to possibly DeSean Jackson, or maybe even somebody like Adam Humphries. Cameron Bray is going to be one of my main targets this week, as well Austin Hooper. Both, I think it's O.J. Howard, is out for 2 weeks with an MCL sprain, which makes Cameron Brate, who was already one of Jameis Winston's favorite targets, a great cash game play, and he's underpriced. Now, we saw Austin Hooper have a great game, pretty much a career game this past week five, even though the team just did terrible, losing 41-17 in Pittsburgh. So, Austin Hooper, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones. I mean, there's targets all over. We're going to want to target across Fantasy Draft, Yahoo, FanDuel, DraftKings, and you're just going to have to pick your spots. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites. I like this spread, and I actually like the Bengals in this spot at home. Both sides have elite passing games, and they throw the ball a ton right now, and they have great passing targets. However, James Conner and Joe Mixon are perfect leverage plays on the Fields ownership on the passing game. And we could game theorize that this game hits the under in a tough divisional game. And if so, it's going to be because James Conner and Joe Mixon are touching the ball 25, 30 times, and it's just not high fly scoring opportunities. Both of these running backs went for 25 plus this past week on FanDuel and DraftKings. And the Bengals defense actually is they're a top possibly five unit with Vontaze Burfict on the field, and he was back last week after being suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season. And if he's active again in week six, as he looks to be, then I'm not sure how much I want really anybody on the Steelers side of the ball. Now it is Tuesday, and of course, things can change throughout the week as I dig a little deeper. Now the Arizona Cardinals are terrible, absolutely terrible, and they are traveling to Minnesota, who is 10.5-point favorites. It was just, I believe, 3 weeks ago that the entire world was on Latavius Murray and the Vikings defense. And we saw Latavius Murray just completely dud. We saw the Bills steamroll the Vikings 27-0 in Minnesota, of all places. And, you know, I think some people might be a little gun-shy going back to Lat Murray and the Vikings defense here, but I will not be. I will not be at all. I think there's a time and place for everything, and you know, regression to the mean is huge, recency bias is huge, and I think that you're looking at a Vikings defense in a get-right spot. You're looking at Latavius Murray, game flow, and I'm likely going to be off Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, all the fun in the passing game. Maybe some Thielen shares because he runs out of the slot. Patrick Peterson is going to be all over Stephon Diggs on the outside. Even though Diggs can win that matchup, I just think that Peterson is the type of defensive back that can just drastically lower the scoring ceiling of whatever wide receiver he's matched on. Now, Kyle Rudolph is in a tremendous spot. Okay, he's getting 6-7 targets a game, but we want to target tight ends who are home, who are favored, and who are favored in large with large spreads. Running backs and tight ends have the same correlation. They need to have opportunities, and to get opportunities in the red zone, the team normally has to be doing a better job than the other team. So we look for big spreads. We look for home teams. The Vikings also have a 26.75 implied total. They check all the boxes for both Rudolph and Latavius Murray. The Chargers travel to Cleveland across the country from West Coast to East Coast. It pretty much takes me off Phillip Rivers. The passing game, Melvin Gordon is always in play, but his price has been bumped up a little bit. The Browns defense is playing good defense, not great, but they're applying solid pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, and they're just slowing the game down so much by pounding the rock with Carlos Hyde and trying to set up that play action with Baker Mayfield. So if Carlos Hyde's going to be setting up that play action all day and they're just going to be leaning on the running game, I think that this scoring ceiling of this game and all the pieces in it is just going to be lower. It's just not a place I want to go. There's too many other spots on this slate where I just like other places. Now, Todd Gurley is going to be the chalk of the week in cash games and tournaments on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it might be a little bit trickier. He's all the way up to $10,000. He spent most of last season at $10,000, and he was still being owned 30% of the time each week in and week out. And I'm going to be going back to the well with Todd Gurley week in and week out myself until he gets to an astronomical price. The Rams have a 29.75 implied total and are 7-point road favorites with the money coming in on the over and the Rams spread. So we just saw the Broncos give up 1 billion rushing yards to the New York Jets, and while I think that was an anomaly and Isaiah Crowell will not repeat that on 25 snaps per game, I do think that Todd Gurley is in a great spot. Whether he is running the ball or catching the ball in the backfield, he is going to rack up yards, touches, volume, red zone work, and touchdowns. And he just checks all the boxes week in and week out as just an all-purpose back. Now, Jared Goff is still underpriced around the industry. I believe he's in the lower 6K range on DraftKings and the lower 8K range on FanDuel. Now, he might be missing one or two of his wide receivers with Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks, both suffering concussions in week 5. That would put Robert Woods squarely in cash game land with just a massive floor due to a nice target spike, and somebody who won't be mentioned very often around the industry other than people who watched him in the preseason would be Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds is in a very nice spot if both of those aforementioned wide receivers are out. Now, of course, the Rams defense is in play, and I didn't really need to tell you that. The Jacksonville Jaguars are at the Dallas Cowboys. Over 80% of the public bets are coming in on the under, and that total sits at just 42 points. That is gross. These teams are too slow. Their pace is slow. They run the ball nonstop. Run, run, pass, try to get a first down. If not, punt. Boring football. Both defensive units are in play. The offensive pieces are complete fades to me outside of maybe a few shares of both TJ Yeldon and Zeke Elliott in my MME CSV files. So Baltimore at Tennessee Titans. Now, this game is similar to the Jacksonville Jaguars and Dallas Cowboys, where you have two tremendous defensive teams. Now, it's not to say that the Cowboys are a tremendous defensive team, but similar to the Titans, they are slow. They just have a slow pace. They don't run a lot of plays. Now, both the Ravens and the Titans are top 10 in rushing the quarterback this year. They're both top 10 in hurries, and they're both top 7 in quarterback hits. Neither team runs the ball exceptionally well, and both of their backfields are quite messy. Joe Flacco continues to heave the ball up and down the field, and I guess you could have some Flacco with John Brown stacks, but outside of something like that, or maybe Mariota and Corey Davis, hoping for a nice bounce back spot, it's just not a pretty game. Now, most of the magic is going to be on that Sunday night game between the Chiefs and the Patriots. Now, only 7 times in NFL history since 2004 has a game closed at a 57-point total or higher. This one is already up to 59 points with more than 70% of the money coming in on the over. I got to think this one's going to go into the 60-point or more range. Now, if that happens, just for the fellow nerds out there that want to know, the highest game I could find with the highest total was 2004 on Christmas Day between the Raiders and the Chiefs. There was a 60-point total at the close. Now, this game, I think, is going to finish over that 60-point mark. I think it might be around 60.5 to 61 points. And to be honest, I probably would take the over. You have two fast-paced teams who are extremely efficient with moving the ball up and down the field with playmakers all over the place. And two defenses that can be exposed and give up big plays. That primetime slate is going to be very exciting with this game on there, and the showdown slate is going to be massive. Now, the showdown slate is going to be phenomenal using the DFS Army Optimizer. Since we have the showdown optimizer, it's a specific format we have created to help out with being able to lock in an MVP spot and using different exposure rates on your MVP players and your flex spots. It's an awesome tool, and we actually had, I believe, 6 or 7 people split first place using the optimizer, putting in different exposure ratings and stuff like that, and that was exceptional to see this past week and very exciting. I hope that you're enjoying the donut shop. It is very quick, it is very fast-paced, and I try to jam in as much as I can. Please reach out to me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts. If you enjoy this format, it would really, really help me out if you subscribe to this podcast on Podbean or iTunes or Google Play. And if you would leave a 5-star rating, that would just warm my heart. I appreciate the listeners very much and the support you guys give me and the kind words that you have told me via DM on Twitter and simply in the episode comment section have been unbelievable for myself and my family to read together. And I thank you so much for that. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you have an exceptional weekend. And remember, fortune favors the bold.